Testing. All right, this should be good. Scoot down, keep this in reach. All right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so today is February 26, 2014. I'm Jessie Wittish here with Judy Jennings. We're going to talk about U of L Women's Center, her connection to Lucy Freibird, and kind of the connection between Lucy and the Women's Center and U of L. So I guess, Judy, if you just want to kind of talk about the Women's Center and really sort of the backstory and how did that come about at U of L? What brought that into fruition?
I got to first know more about the great feminist at U of L in the early 1980s. Mm-hmm. I was working for the Kentucky Humanities Council, which gives grants to scholars to do public discussions. And there was quite a good community in Louisville of feminist scholars led by Mary Hawksworth. I'm mm-hmm. sure that name's come up. Mm-hmm. And Lucy and Nancy Theriault was, mm-hmm. I believe, part of that at the time. And I believe Mary Ann was, Stinger mm-hmm. was there. So they would have book discussion groups or do public programs about women's history mm-hmm. and feminism. And I just thought they were so cool. I would come up here and listen to see their programs. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember the first time I met Lucy. I know that she was always a presence. What year, do you know what year she started teaching at U of L?
I don't know, like 72, 74.
Yeah, she was there.
71, 72, something like that, yeah.
She was there, and she was always like sort of the godmother, the feminists on campus, and they talked about her. But I think as far as interacting with her in these humanities programs, I'm not mm-hmm. so sure that was part of that meeting. After I worked at the Humanities Council, I actually went to Apple Shop, which mm-hmm. is a media arts and education center in Eastern Kentucky, and I was a fundraiser. Mm-hmm. I decided I didn't want to be part of it. I wanted to take a break from academics.
Yeah.
And I was 40. So while I was down in Eastern Kentucky, which was 1987 to 1991, mm-hmm. While I was down there, they were cooking up the Women's Center. So Lucy was always, I think people called her this, the consciousness, the voice of conscience of U of L, and mm. always a voice for truth. And I was thinking about preparing for this interview how she could speak her truth and her justice without alienating people, and they mm-hmm. actually loved her more. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that feminists aren't always able to do.
Yeah.
I'll speak for myself. Mm-hmm. Myself as a feminist. And I think it is something to think about, because she never compromised her principles, mm-hmm. but she could say them in a loving way. Maybe that's with the faith.
Yeah.
She could say them in a loving way. And so she was greatly respected through the campus, throughout the campus. And then Mary Hawksworth was more strategic. She was in political science. Mm-hmm. I would say that building consensus and making people feel good was not her goal, but she was very savvy and structural and about political structure. Mm-hmm. And then there was a third woman, Sissy Musselman, mm-hmm. who had been a student of Mary's. I came back to school mm-hmm. late and was in Mary's class, Mary Hawksworth's class, mm-hmm. and actually traveled to England on a class trip to England, which those kind of trips can really be life transforming, even yeah. more than sitting in class. And yeah. it was interesting because Judy Chicago's dinner party was in London at that time.
Oh, wow.
Mary Hawksworth and I went to see it together. And that's very bonding for any feminist
yes.
experience, which is interesting because Judy Chicago is going to be at U of L today.
Oh,
this really? Afternoon. She's giving some of her quotes. Oh, yeah, that's one challenge of U of L.
Yes.
But anyway, so the three of them, Lucy Freibird, mm-hmm. Mary, and Sissy, were in a lot of conversations mm-hmm. and friendships, and Sissy became a trustee at U of L,
okay.
And so when Sissy became a trustee, the three of them pretty much cooked up the idea of having a women's center.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the late 80s. And so they, it would be interesting to look at the history of women's centers on campuses. I don't know if you're going to be looking, that's not really your focus, mm-hmm. but there were at that time, there were, it's sort of like LGBT centers are now. So at that time, there might have been 8 or 9 or 7 or 8 in Kentucky. I don't remember. And so the they wanted a women's center. And I wish there were papers on this. Because to be honest, I'm not so clear what their... they might have not had a three united vision of mm-hmm. what a women's center would do. I know they were concerned about students and young women learning the history of feminism,
mm-hmm.
and having chances to interact with feminists outside classes, and also reaching out into the community, engaging community.
Yeah.
So they triple teamed President Donna Swain, who is also a historian, his mm-hmm. wife, Lavinia Swain, was a good friend of Sissy's.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they used all the entries they had, entrees. And so the three of them really persuaded President Swain mm-hmm. to establish a women's center in 1991. He did that, which, much to his credit, however, he would not establish it as a permanent budget line.
Oh.
So he set up 1 year funding for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what, as it turned out, what they needed was somebody with a PhD or academic credibility mm-hmm. who could also fundraise. And you might remember that at that point I was a fundraiser.
Right. I knew just the person.
Yeah, exactly. And I had gone to Appleshop to work on a 4-year fundraising National Endowment for the Arts fundraising campaign for them to build an endowment, and we were just wrapping that up.
Mm-hmm.
So it was amazing synchronicity. And I was got a call from Mary Hawksworth, and it was like, we're going to have to start a women's center. We only have funding for 1 year, and would this be something you'd be interested in? And I really thought of it a lot, because I do have mixed feelings about academia again.
Right.
And so very have a love-hate relationship with academia. Right. And also, I didn't think I would like Louisville, because I'm from Lexington.
Oh,
so I really did think of it. And
yeah.
I mean, I wasn't a shoo-in to get it, but
right.
I was like, do I really want to do that? But
right.
really, it was Mary and Lucy and the chance to work with them and be mm-hmm. with them. I have a good personal relationship with Sissy, and I greatly admire her. She was at the time a pretty big time Republican.
Yeah.
And that's not my political persuasion. And so my mom was a pretty big time Republican, mm-hmm. so I have special tenderness around
right.
the partisan thing.
Yes.
But I mean, and Sissy was much more active in politics at the time.
Yeah.
But but she was solid. She was always solidly for the Women's Center. So I interviewed for the job, and I came to Louisville in 1991.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't an office when I got here, and it wasn't clear if I was reporting to the Dean of Arts and Sciences or to the President or to the Provost. So there was a lot of, you know, and so I'm not sure I could have negotiated the early years of that without all three of them.
Yeah.
And so they triple teamed everybody. So Sissy, being a trustee, had power and influence.
Yeah.
Mary, so shrewd. And yeah. then Lucy, just being a stalwart voice for We Need a Women's Center.
Right.
So I was in the basement of Gardner Hall with no windows, no computer, and no assistance whatsoever.
Yeah. You were the women's center.
I was the women's center. There I was. But you know, that Appleshop is a very, I love it, but at Appleshop I shared an office, and
mm-hmm.
you know, it was much less well funded.
Right.
So that sounds kind of bad by some standards, but by some nonprofits, having an office is
right.
a big deal.
Right.
So we began building the Women's Center, and it was always the three of them, and they never wavered. And I know I did things that probably made them cringe. And sometimes I didn't ever really have a hard time, just the Republican stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I never had a hard time with Mary and Lucia ever. And they were just solid, like mm-hmm. whatever you want. And we did have to start raising money pretty quick. And we would have these. We shamed the dean into giving me a new office because we said we had to invite people to the office. And
right.
So then I was in the basement of Gardner Hall with a window. But I didn't care. And then we did get two work study students. And interestingly, this is a whole nother. If ever anybody ever wanted to do Women's Centers, it's a classic. The two women who were assigned to me as work study were very dear and wonderful. And both, I was 44, I think, then. And they were both in their probably mid-50s mm-hmm. and very beautiful women and upper middle class women whose husbands had left them for younger women,
oh.
both of them. And both of their husbands were prominent in Louisville.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. So they were like classic second wave.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and it was really interesting to work with them. And they had both come back to school because they had gotten married early and hadn't had their degree.
Right.
So that's why they were doing work study.
Yeah.
So, and they had known each other socially but not been really good friends.
Right.
They had moved in the same circles. So that was really interesting. But so we started having these teas and fundraising events mm-hmm. and doing this grassroots fundraising because that's the kind of fundraising I did at Appleshaw.
Yeah.
I was also, the reason I finally decided to take the job was living in Appalachia where there are very strong women leaders, but they do not call themselves feminists.
Mm-hmm.
And that is not their fault. That is feminist's fault.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And I felt pretty strongly like that about that. And I wondered, and also that was a time of postmodernism,
oh, yeah.
which was driving a deeper wedge, in my humble opinion,
yeah.
into feminism
yeah.
just through language.
And yeah.
And I wondered if grassroots feminism and academic feminism could be reunited.
Mm, mm-hmm.
And I wanted to make that my mission, and I felt like, and I still feel like to some extent, I have I can do that because I'm mm-hmm. from a working class family, single parent,
mm-hmm.
Eastern Kentucky roots, and I have a PhD.
Yeah.
To be honest, I finally lost patience with academic feminism. I'm like, that's not for me. But it needs to be. Somebody needs to be there doing it.
Yeah.
So anyway, so I was like very community focused.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, I don't think we caught it third wave, but even then, once you get out of academics and there are all these questions of what is feminism.
Uh-huh.
And I came to my own feminism from the peace movement in Vietnam. So I was a peace hippie before I was a feminist.
Right.
You know? And then, so I've always been like, it's intersectional. It's
right,
like,
right.
But that's hard. And I know that not so much Lucy, because she was not ideological. Maybe
mm-hmm.
that's one reason that she can be so uniting.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I don't know. I'll have to think about more because I just thought of that now. But she has a very great acceptance and positive spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And Mary was a little more ideological
mm-hmm.
on the intellectual rigor side,
mm-hmm.
and Sissy was more ideological on the Republican side.
That is, you know, kind of representing a broad swath of views.
Yeah.
There.
So Lucy really played. She was the glue,
yeah.
you know. And I think this happened in every other Women's Center I knew, because Women's Studies was already there.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, there were tensions between Women's Center and Women's Studies.
Right.
And then while I was there, the Commission on Women also got set up. So
yeah.
then, of course, there were tensions on who did what and
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. And Lucy was always the one everybody respected. And Lucy was always mm-hmm. the one that could go through the different camps and make peace. And,
mm-hmm.
and how, I don't, she never, she just did it about being universally positive and
mm-hmm.
never speaking ill of anyone and never giving up, that we could all work together.
Yeah.
So I really give her a lot of credit. I mean, she was the key, because we would have self-destructed. And other women's centers had the same issue.
Yeah.
We actually had a meeting of, we did have a meeting of women's centers and women's studies in Kentucky.
Oh, interesting. Do you know when that was?
Maybe it'd be in that 5-year thing.
Okay.
I don't know if it was the first 5 years or not.
I didn't remember seeing it, but I could look into it, yeah.
Yeah, and there were tensions.
Yeah.
There were lots of tensions. And I think there's probably less women's centers now. Some of those women's centers didn't make it. I'm pretty sure Northern Kentucky University had one then, and then went away, and now they're putting it back. I don't know.
Yeah.
But just keeping in touch, there's just a lot of structural issues. There's structural issues. There's resource scrambling.
Right.
But there's like focus, and then I was hugely community focused.
Right.
Huge. And I actually got criticized for that.
Yeah.
Which it seemed odd to me, but
yes.
And I started working with the arts there because coming out of Apple Shop, there's a real focus on arts and culture as advancing social justice and people telling their own stories and like making, so that came naturally to me. And at Apple Shop at that time, there was a project called the American Festival Project.
Yeah.
That was a national project that used the arts to advance social justice. And this, in the early years of that, at that time, many of those focused on campus.
Mm-hmm.
So I went, they had one at Dartmouth. And I went to that, and when I came back, I was talking to Mary Oxford, and I was like, it was really great, and it was wonderful, and she's like, we should do one here, and I was like, yeah, we should do one here, and she's like, how about in April, and that was like,
right.
So, and she was shrewd, though, because she saw the need to, like, have a high profile.
Right, right.
And so we, because of my connection with Apple Shop and the National, we were able to secure a $100,000 grant.
Oh, wow.
Right. And I told this story before, so I have to be careful. I'll tell you what happened before when I told it. But we got a $100,000 grant. I got a new office. I got promoted to the provost office. So that really, even before, just the grant, not even doing the festival, before the festival, I was like up.
And right. That was 1993? Was that about when that was?
Yeah. I tell that story at a conference, at an American University of Colleges conference, and a Native American man said, so you think it was all about you?
Oh, no.
Yeah. He said, I thought I was being funny, so you have to watch out.
Right.
And he really made me think. But I'm trying, to me, I'm in it to be a commentary on what the university values.
Right.
And we did the festival, and it was great. And Lucy was always really supportive of the community. Everybody loved Lucy, you know, as they did. And she could see the value of the arts, and she crossed the world. I mean, she might have, everybody might have thought that she had a special understanding of them, but I felt like she was really supportive of the community-based at a time when... there's criticism in women's studies. I think Mary never, ever, ever criticized me, Mary Hawksworth, but I think she was like more on the academic side. And so I think Lucy's support, and also Lucy and Mary, but really Lucy, because of her personality, built in the unity on campus and dampened down those tensions, and being was really a key. And let's see, I was going to say one more thing about her. And at that time there wasn't an LGBTQ there was a group, and there was the wonderful guy in theater who died of AIDS, there's a scholarship for him, they called him by his initials. Well, he was like the a student advisor for GLB.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so there had been like student organizations in and out, and the student organizations were more or less radical. And so when so the Women's Center was became a supporter for ally for them.
Yeah.
And so one time, it was GLOW, G-L-O-W. Mm-hmm. And I love that guy. And we really got hooked up with them during the American Festival Project because we had some of the plays and stuff we dealt with really focused on that. And so when this guy came in, he came into our office and we had a really nice copier. And that really nice copier got used a lot by different women in transition, mm-hmm. by women who write.
Yeah.
You know, just a copier can mean a world to people.
It really is.
So he came in and said, "Can I use your copy?" And I was like, "Sure." And I laughed. And he did these like bright, neon bright, I don't really actually remember what it said, bright neon flyers copies. And he put them all over campus and it was out there. And I don't remember what it said, but it was over the line. In many people's.
Right.
And they, like, the vice president.
Oh.
Yeah. And they all three stood beside me and Lucy was right there. And I don't know how she felt. You know, I don't know. Because I don't remember what it was. It wouldn't be anything bad today.
Right.
I think it might have used the word queer. I think that was it. I think it used the word queer. And like 1995.
Right, really different.
Yeah and that like got us into the vice president. Yeah. So we were all on the line but we all stood together, including Sissy.
Yeah.
And I did at the time think about, wow, how does a faith, how does a sister, I mean, I think that was always that, she was willing to, and it would be wonderful to know what she was actually thinking about that. And how she reconciled it with the churches.
Yeah. Did you always know that Lucy was a sister? Like, did you know, you knew that?
That was part of her story.
Okay.
And then I thought, you know, I'm old enough when I thought she'd be walking around in a habit, when I met her. And so because they still were.
Right.
Some of them. And so, yes, that was part of her story. And then Mary Hawksworth is, not Sissy, I don't think. I don't think Sissy's Catholic. But Mary Hawksworth was brought up working class Irish Catholic. Mm. And her grandmother went to church every day.
Oh, wow.
Went to Catholic church every day. So Mary sometimes referred to her as sister, blah, 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 for her whole name.
Yes. Yeah. Lucy Marie Freiberg.
Yeah. So she was very connected with her in that.
Oh, in that sort of way.
In that way.
Okay.
And Mary definitely wasn't faith-based, but... she, her mom and her grandma, you know, she grew up in that. And so
Do you, can you say a little bit about what students thought of the Women's Center? Kind of how did they respond, or what did they value about the Women's Center?
The fact that we... And this is interesting because, see, I don't really know the backstory before I got there.
Right.
I think Brian Buford he's in student government, right? Or student affairs.
I believe he directs the
LGBT Center. But aren't they located in student activities? I think so.
Yeah, maybe. Yes.
So where you... Yeah, he was in personnel. He's really, like, great.
Yeah, he is great.
And he knows how to work the university system because of all his personnel. But where you get located is all... It's all about that.
Okay.
In many ways, good and bad.
Yeah.
So I don't know why they chose to have it located... So I was either going to be in the dean. When I got promoted from the dean to the provost.
Okay.
And they wanted somebody with a PhD.
Right.
So it was never based in student services. When I was early there, when I came there, Kitty Amos was the vice president for student affairs or something like that. They changed it around since after that. And she was very supportive of the Women's Center and me. And when we did the American Festival Project on campus, that was probably the way we engaged students most.
Right.
But she would be, like, parallel with me.
Okay.
With the Women's Center. I shouldn't say me.
Right.
And so she was a great ally. But she totally reported, those are different worlds.
Yeah.
the academic world and the student world. And so I think Brian's really smart to be in student services in there, or whatever they call it now.
Yeah.
And the guy, Dan Terrell, DT, I think he was in theater, but so he was in academics. So there wasn't, I think before Brian, there wasn't, there might have been student organizations that had, they had, what do you call it, status, official status.
Okay, yeah.
But they, so I was in on the academic side, and we had, like, sexual harassment was a huge issue at that time.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was just, I think the Anita Hill thing, wasn't that, because I'm pretty sure that was,
Right, because I remember you, like, because you started, your first day at the Women's Center was when Clarence Thomas was appointed
right.
to the Supreme Court. And so, yes, all of this would have been.
Whole arc.
Yes, exactly.
So Mary was very concerned about sexual harassment, and Mary had been doing training.
Among the students or among faculty or staff?
Both.
Okay, okay.
And Mary was the one that got, and I don't know if Sister Lucy Marie did or not, but Mary was a magnet for students who had been, So we had a lot of focus on defining sexual harassment and education about sexual harassment and doing, and I know, I remember talking to one of the sororities, which was really, I was like, because I'm like working class.
Right.
But they were great.
Yeah.
And they were like, see, I told you he shouldn't have been doing that. The ones that invited me wanted to learn, and they wanted boundaries, and they wanted to know their rights.
Yeah.
And they wanted to know. It was really great. Yeah. I was like, wow, that just shows you shouldn't be making assumptions about other people.
Right.
So we had a huge focus on sexual harassment, and then we were trying to, and I don't think they still do this, you might be interested. We were trying to get the university to, I think we were trying to get like an ombudsperson for sexual harassment, because Mary was getting, and then we were trying to get the records, because we knew like students were repeatedly saying the same people, but the university wouldn't put records. Because they were like, no written records.
Right.
And we had a huge fight with them, and Mary, you know, we had a huge showdown, and they were like, no written records. And so then, you know, it was terrible because you knew, the women's community knew four or five people that were huge repeat offenders.
Sure.
And so that, that was a big focus, and that is a certain kind of situation of dealing, you know. And I think the American Festival Project and the art projects that we did were, because we did a follow-up, we did two more after that. We worked with the theater department. And when you do the art and culture, and that's why it's so strong, people that aren't already the true believers will show up. Because, so you're reaching new people, and I think that was our best way of engaging students and community. Our best moment as a women's community on campus, and I don't know if this was in the first 5 years, I don't think so. No, I bet you it wasn't. But the interaction with the athletics department was always, so my office was on Gardner Hall, so we were looking out on the quad, which is really beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
But, and they would have like fairs for student, and I was just, we were, and Mary was in next door in grammar, and, Mary was next door in the political science, and I don't know where Lucy, I guess she was in human, being them. And, they were having the student fair, and, all these student organizations, and they had one that was like Louisville Ladies, and they were like to be escorts for the football team.
Oh, was it still happening? That, do you know about the Gibson Girls?
No.
That was way back, you know, two decades before all this happened, but really?
So yes.
Still,
so
okay.
We went ballistic.
More.
Yeah. We went ballistic, and all three of us went ballistic.
Mm-hmm.
And Kitty Amos was ballistic because mm-hmm. it was students. It was her problem.
Right.
So Kitty and I actually went over to the football coach, who I forgot his name, but he was pretty famous. He was really clueless.
Yeah.
The old guy before that went to Florida, I forgot his name.
Yeah.
And we had to meet him in the locker room, and it honestly, this is gross, but it did smell like sweaty jockstrap.
I'm sure it did.
It was like he couldn't come out of there to meet us, you know. And he was like, well, if it's a problem, the women can set up one and we'll have the gentlemen. And we're like, no. So we wrote a big, huge article. We all cooperated and we wrote a big, huge article. We got a big story in the Courier Journal and an editorial. Oh. And I'm pretty sure. But anyway, guess what happened? So Mary Craig, do you know her?
Yeah.
She read that story. And she called me up and said, are you the one that protested this whatever? And I was like, yeah. And she said, I want to give you all some money.
Excellent.
So that's how the Mary Craig Scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also like a good example of us working together. But it was also very antagonistic and conflictful. Okay. Yeah. So when Tom Jurich came, mm-hmm. then everything started ramping up in the athletics. And he hadn't been there very long. And I think they were under some kind of accreditation. I don't mm-hmm. remember what the... So, Title IX. So the idea was they were going to eliminate some men's sports to make the balance for Title IX. Yeah. So everybody was mad about everything.
Yeah.
So our finest moment was everybody... So the women's studies folks went and did research to talk about other ways.
Mm-hmm.
The Women's Center went out to community people and got people that wanted to send their daughters to be on the athletic teams to talk. The Commission on Women was there then, and they got high-powered academic policy people.
Uh-huh.
And Lucy was like a front spokeswoman. We put Lucy up there in the front, you know. And we had a whole day with a series of talks all day looking at, we do not have to do it this way. There's other models. This mm-hmm. is going to hurt the women's teams. This is not going to be the kind of Louisville we want. Lucy can always make that. And Jurich changed his mind. And he said, okay, you're right. And that's when they did swimming. He said, we need to upgrade everybody and not, you're right. And we were all like, what? Really?
Yeah.
And that's when they did the women's rowing team. Because Tori Merton came.
Yeah.
You know, so that was a great moment of triumph and unity and harmony, and I give Tom Jurich a lot of credit for it. It wasn't too long after he had been there.
Okay.
And I left in 91, so it was probably like 90.
Okay.
So I think some people thought I was focusing more on the community than on students,
mm-hmm.
which I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But I think on a commuter campus like that, the line, and they didn't have hardly any dorms then.
Yeah.
You know, and I think, and the blue collarness of it, I think having a program in a public library or, you know, to me it was like I was really trying to bridge. You know, and some of the stuff we did, like, late at night in the American Festival, students could come to easier than in the day
because
they're always working.
Sure.
And so I think that I would say I was more community-focused. So I think, you know, women's studies, and I think there was tensions. There's just tensions, you know.
Yeah, and I think that persists, you know, and how... yeah, what's the, you know, is teaching about feminism really enough?
Right.
Or,
uh-huh.
You know, or how do we get that way out of the classroom, you know, kind of thing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And it is kind of you know, there is, in some ways, I feel that, you know, U of L is trying to, not become, but kind of, you know, also be that kind of residential campus for younger students. But there are still so many students that commute or are, you know, non-traditional students or all of that,
yeah.
that kind of,
And that's really one thing that made me want to go to U of L. Mm-hmm. And I hope that doesn't lose. I wouldn't want to be at, I mean, I love Center or Berea or, mm-hmm. you know, but I did that. I did. I worked at a small college and I really loved it. But I don't want to, that's, I want to talk to real folks that are, you know, yeah.
Exactly.
And I think the ones that are working are so much more aware, well, for one thing, they're aware of discrimination.
Yeah.
But they're so much more aware of, like, minimum wage issues mm-hmm. or something than, like, traditional college students because mm-hmm. they just haven't had that experience yet, yeah. you know. So, like, what? Why do we need that?
Right.
Or, you know, I mean, they might, you know, or, and especially the privilege of being a residential student when you're earning your own way, you don't, you're, like, really understanding.
Yeah, it's a different, yeah, it's a different, very different
dynamic.
It's also a different, I think, commitment to your,
yeah.
to your studies, too.
Yeah.
When, yeah, you're yes. putting the whole bill and you're, there's, I think there's a, it's a different kind of investment.
Yeah.
In yourself, too, so. Just my yeah. the opinion that I hold, but it's
yeah,
in a good way.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So I think I'm really talking about Lucy more as like a presence or this mm-hmm. This conscious voice, this person who showed up and everybody always loved when she walked into the room and yeah. and she did, it wasn't just like some kind of symbol, because mm-hmm. She did make good cases and make good arguments, and she always spoke for justice and love and equality and women. So it wasn't just like that she didn't push, but her presence could just, you know, assure everybody that we were, that whatever we were doing at that time was going to be good for a lot of people and not just one group of people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. That, yeah, and I think that's that is kind of a unique.
Yeah, it's a very unique
skill set or
yeah,
kind of way
it's
of
a
being.
Gift.
Yeah, it is really a gift. Yeah,
it's probably
absolutely.
Related to her faith.
Yeah, I think there's a reassurance or a self assurance or something uh-huh. that she has that is, yeah, that is definitely uh-huh. Something that she just kind of carries. You know, still carries, always carried, I guess.
Yeah, and the belief in the good of people. You uh-huh. know, and it's funny because like Anne Braden was a very different woman, but Anne Braden uh-huh. always, even at the very end, believed that. You could just get the right flower and give that to the right
yes.
person, and that person would change.
Yes, exactly.
You know, she never lost that belief.
And yeah, and that's Lucy's very similar in that way. We were
yeah.
We were talking a couple weeks ago, and that's kind of what she was saying. She was like, "If we could just talk," she was like, "I feel like if I can just talk to people,
yes.
it's different." Like she
right.
was talking about being frustrated with Mitch McConnell. She's like, "I just want to talk to him."
Oh,
you know?
That's so funny.
Yeah,
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 yeah. That faith. You know, and Anne Braden was a woman of faith too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So it's
absolutely.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think some of us are trying, and I would put myself in this category. We're trying to change the system, but not the people.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when you're trying to change the system and not the people. The people sometimes you think you're they're in your way.
Yeah.
And they probably know that.
Yes, exactly.
Get out of my way.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That's probably not going to, yeah, this is interesting. I'm glad we're talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's, and I think that there is that, you know, the classroom's kind of an opportunity to really change people.
Yes.
And so I think
yeah.
that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. But arts are a way to change people, too.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I just did want to mention this because I know Lucy supported this, too. So we did the American Festival mm-hmm. Project. So when I went to Dartmouth, there was this really amazing performance artist named Robbie McCauley.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I can't believe I didn't tell you this story. So, and she's still around. I think she's at Holyoke now, Artist in Residence. And she had done this play called In Your Blood.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about mixed race, African-American, white, and Indian in the South.
Mm-hmm.
And her grandfather, I think, was a Buffalo Soldier, and it was great, and she's great, and I really love her. So when we did our American Festival, we did ours all around women's issues.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, I want Robbie to come. So, and then you worked with them, and so it was Robbie, and I was like, Robbie, will you come be in our festival? And she's like, yeah, I would love that. And I was like, yeah, I really hope you can do In Your Blood, because it's really good. I think that's the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been something a little bit different. And she's like, oh, Judy, no, for a women's festival, I have a new play, and it's really, you have to do this one, and it's called Sally's Rape. And it's really about Sally Hemings, but it's also my grandmother Sally. Mm-hmm. And we're really looking at how sexual violence really divides white women mm-hmm. and black women, because white women historically haven't had that experience. And mm-hmm. there is a white woman in the play, and we talk about these issues, and you really need to do that. And mm-hmm. I was like, okay. And she said, and at when I'm Sally Hemings, I get completely nude and stand on an auction block. And I was like, do you have to? Yeah. And she's like, yes. And so they all stood behind Mary and Sissy and Lucy, you know, and we had to say there is nudity in this performance, mm-hmm. you know. And I really thought something awful would happen, but yeah. nothing awful happened. And it was very powerful, because Robbie is like, at that time, she's diabetic, so she's had a lot of illnesses. She's mm-hmm. got a striking figure, but I wouldn't call it like hugely sexualized. Right. You know? And she was probably in her late 40s, early 50s, and she does get on the auction block and stand up there, and she says to the audience, bid me out, wow. come on, bid, how much are you going to give? And this total vulnerability, and it was wow. the Thrust Theater.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
realized how complicit we all are yeah. in that system.
Wow.
I mean, it was a transformative moment.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, and then, so the play lasted 45 minutes. The discussion lasted 2.5 hours.
Wow. Wow.
Just like if you were said some big scholar is going to come and she's going to talk about the history of sexualized oppression of black women mm-hmm. and how that relates to white women, you know, some people would have shown up.
Right.
And they would have talked. But this was just like.
Right. A whole different
thing.
Yeah. Kind of emotional connection.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that's really great.
So the fact, that's what I mean when they all just stood there. They all stood behind me, all three of them, all the time.
Yeah.
Behind the Women's Center. I don't want to just personalize it to me.
Right. You were doing a lot of that early forging without a lot of other people to serve
right.
at the Women's Center.
Right.
Let's see if there's any other questions I wanted to ask. Anything else you want to add about the Women's Center or Lucy or any...
Well, just her generosity, because her scholarship was important to her, mm-hmm. and I know she had that some big project she was so worried about finishing, and I don't know if she ever did. It was somebody's bibliography.
Yeah, I don't think that she did. Yeah, it's an American Humor
yeah.
bibliography. Yeah,
and she just worried so much about that, and it wasn't even her project.
Yeah.
You know? And I think somebody died and handed it over to
mm-hmm.
her.
Yeah, she had promised that she would
yeah,
finish it. Yeah.
yeah. But her generosity was just amazing, of showing up and being available and talking to students and, you know, being supportive. And
yeah.
She never seemed to be too busy.
Yeah.
I'm sure she was busy, but she never said, you know how some of the younger of us at the time were like, oh, I'm too busy for that.
Right.
And she never was like, ever, you know, I mean, she was just generosity of spirit and mm-hmm.
Well, that's really
that's
really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we covered it?
I think so.
Okay.
Thank
I'm sorry
you so
it's
much.
Not so